You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek, and thanks to American Airlines, I'm back in Ocala, Florida.
They're the worst. Oh, my God. I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, April 15th, episode 3410, brought to you by Worm Flooring. How many of y'all just panicked when you heard April 15th? Happy Tax Day, Horse World.
You heard that right. It's Monday, the first day of a fabulous week of shows on Horses in the Morning. So saddle up and ride along. We promise to help you get through your week.
There you go, brand new bumper.
That yawn was so convincing, it made me yawn.
I know. It's good to be back with you. It's been a while.
Hey, buddy. Welcome back.
Couple of weeks, I think, since we did a show together here. We'll talk a little bit about all the people who talked about you over the past week. We'll talk
about that. That doesn't sound good.
But we have an amazing guest on today. Her name is Faye O'Hara. She's coming from the UK, and she's going to talk to us about a comeback that she made to horses after a tragic accident that left her paralyzed. And it's an amazing story. I can't wait to talk to her and tell you guys all about it. We're going to get caught up a little bit. I totally don't even know what's going on in your life. And I think we still have some listeners with problems, right?
And I feel like a schmuck for doing equestrian first world problems after the inspirational guests that we're going to have, but that's the way the cards are dealt, people.
It's tongue in cheek. Yeah, it is good to be back again. And then next week, you're leaving.
Am I? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know anymore.
Are you still going to Defender?
I am going to that. Glenn, I don't know where I am or what day it is. Like, it's so crazy. I booked my flight. We've got our Airbnb. We've got a dinner scheduled for anybody coming to Rolex Land Rover Defender Kentucky 3-Day. It is going to be, write this down, Ramsey's Diner. But there's like four of them.
There is.
So
there's
make
like four
sure
of them.
You go yeah. to the one Ramsey's Masterson Station. Masterson Station, 6:30 on Friday night. Now, I have booked it for like 20 people, so I don't know. If you're going to come and I haven't heard from you, please let me know, just so I can like up it if I need to. They'll do separate checks, and then nobody's going to pick up the bill. I'm not paying for it, so you guys are on your own.
I'm not either, so.
No, Glenn's not, this is not even going. So it's going to be me and come hang out, and let's have dinner. And Ramsey's is kind of one of those iconic Kentucky places with the hot browns. I just remember loving it when I lived there, so I was really excited.
It's the first place I had a hot brown. Was that Ramsey's?
Really? Yep. Well, I think that's the place to get it. And thanks to Karen at KPP, she's been helping me figure out a place to go. So she's
going
to be there as well. Yeah.
Yay! Good.
So, well, maybe I can get Reese to come from the Dressage Radio Show. Oh, now people will show up. Okay. I'll maybe promise Reese.
I'm not sure she's going to be home. I have to ask her. I know she's heading home from Florida right now. So,
well, if we tell everybody she's going to be there, then more people will come. It won't be me sitting in a restaurant by myself on a Friday night. Swear to God, you guys, if y'all do that to me, I'm going to be so mad.
Well, I did meet a couple people in Ohio who said they were coming to your dinner. I said, well, let her know. So,
yes, let me know, please.
Yeah, and they can email you, right?
Yeah, email me, jamie@horseradionetwork.com.
All right. Well, let's get the show started. So we have a couple of auditor birthdays, and the first one, I actually looked up how to say her name, and I've got the pronunciation, so this is directly from Google. If it's wrong, blame Google. It's Roxanne Lamotte and Nicole McKean. Now, Roxanne's last name is not spelled A-L-A-M-O-T, which it's spelled L-A-M-O-T-H-E. How would you have said that if I hadn't looked it up?
Lamos.
That's what I would have said. So
you would have said Lamosi. I know you.
Well, apparently, in, if you do the Spanish pronunciation, it does have the E at the end. From everybody else I've seen and all the other pronunciations were Lamotte. So, Glenn, Roxanne, let us know if we got it right.
If you put your last name in
A-Bear.
Google, it would say A-Bear.
A-Bear.
So Everybody has their own thing.
And I had a few people call me A-Bear over the last week. We have some brand new auditors, too, or we have one brand new auditor, Rachel Wiley. We're happy to have you, Rachel. Thanks for joining us. And also, Julia raised her pledge. Thank you to Julia for doing that. I also wanted to give a daily whinny out to all the listeners who stopped by to say hi. I truly had more listeners than I've ever met at any other thing we've ever done.
Wow.
Ohio, Michigan people, that northwestern Pennsylvania all came out, and it was so good to meet you all. I didn't get out of the booth the first day till like 4 or 5 o'clock, and I usually go out to find guests for the next day, but it was just so busy with listeners. It's so nice. And in the post show, I'll tell you about one of the particular things that happened that was hilarious.
You're so popular. Oh my God.
It was fun to be there and meet everybody. And I also want to thank Allison from Equine Affair for helping to arrange everything, get the booth all set up and book all the guests that we did. And if you missed those shows, we have the three past episodes, all Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can go back and take a listen to those. We probably interviewed 20 to 25 people total. So you can take a listen to those on the feed.
So I have been home, which has been really nice for the whole week. And Chad's been gone for most of it. He came back yesterday. And I would just like to give it, first of all, a daily whinny out. He taught Lucas how to drive the tractor and they tilled my garden.
Really?
And so, yeah, I mean, I posted pictures of it because he's driving the tractor and I drove up and I was like, what on earth is going on?
You won't even drive the tractor.
I know. I'm terrified of the tractor. So now I got two that can drive it. So that's fantastic. They tilled the garden. I planted the garden. I worked all week at so the two horses that were here from Horse and Hound both got adopted. And I haven't been able to schedule the shipper to bring two more back. So I've had this like week of less horses. And so I've ridden my own horses and I've been just having a great time trail riding, and Ace's cantering jumps now. Like, it's awesome.
Oh, really? Wow.
Great. Yes.
You're going to be doing a novice no time.
Yeah. Any minute now. Hold on for it. I got new jumps painted. I've been just really, really hard at work. But my other kind of daily whinny goes to Farm Boy. You're never going to guess what he did.
Oh, no. What'd he do?
He is taking a class in college in his master's program called entrepreneurial. How do you say that?
Entrepreneurial.
Entrepreneurial.
Okay.
Yeah. See, that's hard to say. Leadership. And so he had to do a Zoom interview with an entrepreneur leader from the community. And he picked me.
Wait a minute. He picked a woman who can't even say the word.
Yeah, he did. So we had to do like this Zoom meeting and he had to record it. And now he has to write a paper on like an 8-page paper. And I was like, dude, you're going to have to like edit that and watch it 10 times, edit it, then write a paper on it. I was like, if you don't show up for a week, I get it. It's too much me. That is way too much me. Please don't listen to the podcast. Your head will explode. But it's just interesting. So he sat down and it was so professional. And the weird thing is we sat down on Zoom and we're face to face on the computer. And both of us were like, I don't think I've ever seen you at this angle before.
Were you across from each other on the computer face to face?
Yeah, we're face to face on Zoom. And I only look up and he only looks down because he's 6'4 and I'm 5'3. Like, we never look. And both of us were like, this is really weird. But I had to answer questions. He read my bio and I was thinking to myself, I'm like, that's really impressive.
So was the gist of it is how to be an entrepreneur and make no money in horses? Was that the gist?
It was just like, thank you, probably. No, it was just somebody who, I don't know. It was just somebody in the community who started a business and is,
I was mostly kidding.
I know, but he was talking about like the award from the Queen and he was like, how did that affect your business? And I was like, honestly, I go, man, it was awesome. I walk out to the mailbox. I get the letter from Buckingham Palace. I come to the house. I open it up. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got a letter from the Queen. Crap, I gotta go clean the stalls. It's amazing. It is a beautiful thing, and it's framed, and I will hopefully pass it on through generations, this letter that, you know, your mom got from the Queen of England, and it's great, and I think it's awesome. But now I gotta go fill water buckets.
Yeah, she didn't send her staff over.
No. So it was kind of like stuff like that about the certification. And I talked a lot about the podcast and how, you know, basically we're pioneers in the podcasting industry with the longest running independent daily podcast in the world, Glenn. I mean, so that's a big deal.
Kind of a big deal.
So the podcasting was part of it, and the horse training and the Monty stuff. So it was cool. But it was weird to talk to Barrett about me because he was supposed to pretend.
It's weird that Barrett talked at all. But
He's supposed to pretend he didn't know me.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, I feel like, okay. He was like, let's just not discuss how we know each other. I'm just going to go past that. I was like, that's fine. Whatever, dude.
He took the easy route on that one.
I have all these questions. I'm like, this is just so professional. Like, and I was like, listen, in an interview, I interview people all the time, but I don't do interviews very well. I turn into like a complete spaz. So if I'm getting a little too spazzy, just tell me to slow down.
Every time I ask Jamie to do an interview for a different podcast, you really don't want to.
No, I'm good.
It's funny. It's the funniest thing. Is his master's in oil, whatever, geology, oil?
I think it's in, his degree is in petroleum engineering, right. But his master's, I think, is in business
That was good. That was a good way to do it. Good for him.
Yeah.
Is he this year's last year? You'll have it this year?
So we have his graduation on, let's see, I think it's May 11th, I think. And then after that, he leaves for the summer to do an internship. And then he has one more year after that.
You talked him into doing his doctorate?
Well, he hasn't done the doctorate yet, but like I've got the master's and I'm going to really hard press sell.
You know, a doctor, you can make so much more money when you have a PhD. So
I know. Yeah. I know. I'm like, you're going to be in oil. Like, you'll be fine. You can make money later.
It's going to be so hard to replace him when he's gone.
Well, you know, I was going to tell you, there was something that he said yesterday and I was like, okay, this is why I'm never going to be able to replace you. So we have this horse in training called Nate, and Nate is a horse that the owners bought him out of a kill pen like a year ago. And he's kind of been sitting around, and so they sent him to me to kind of assess and start. And he's awesome. Except for he has one bad habit. He does not like it when you put the girth on him. Like he's fine. Like nothing hurts. He probably needs some ulcer meds, you know, in his stressful life, but he's going to get all that when he goes home. But when you go to put that girth on, he'll flat turn around and bite you. So this is why I love Barrett. I'm never going to be able to replace him because he goes and is tacking him up and I didn't see it. And I was done. And I was like, hey, how do you do when you put the saddle on? He goes, okay, yeah, but how did he do? Like, did he, whatever. Like, Barrett, the horse literally turns around and tries to bite you when you put the girth on. What happened? He was like, he was a little bitey in the ass, but no deal. Like, I'm sorry, the horse tries to turn around and grab you by your butt cheek, and you're like, it's no big deal.
Yeah, the horses do that all the time.
I mean, it's no big deal. Like, he's just scared of it, not nervous about it. It just didn't even affect him. Okay, cool. Great. Thank you for that information. But like to be so nonchalant about a horse trying to bite you in the butt when you got a little bitey in the ass. It's fine.
Well, you know, last week, one of the days, I met a dealer, a horse trailer dealer. And we got talking.
Sounds better than what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah, a horse trailer dealer.
I met my dealer. And
one of our listeners yesterday, you heard on the show, actually bought a horse trailer there. She traded her old trailer in and drove home with the new one. So
nice.
Yeah, and that she spent more than any of us did. But this dealer, who was actually out of Ocala, does worm flooring. And I got talking to him about it, and he said, we've been doing more worm flooring, so maybe our advertising is working.
I mean, how could you not have it? Like, you have to have it.
I know. And he said the people that get it just love it. He said, we haven't had anybody that hasn't liked it. And he said they're backed up now about a month to do the flooring.
Really? That's awesome. Yep.
So Worm Flooring also does roofs now. Leaky roofs are a common problem in horse trailers and RV. Worm Flooring's revolutionary silicone-based coating creates a barrier against heat and wet. First, it seals your roof to stop leaks before they start. And second, it reflects nearly 90% of the nasty UV rays, keeping your trailer they even put this on barn roofs or tack rooms and things like that, or your RV, and it keeps it up to 60 degrees cooler on a blistering day. It's supposed to be 90 here today. We could probably use that in the trailer. So if you want to find it, it's called Seal and Chill, and it's about $7.50 a square foot. You can go to wormflooring.com to find a dealer near you. Now, you spoke about the queen. I have a job opening for you.
Okay, I'm in.
So do you remember where the queen passed away and where she liked to spend most of her time? Personal time?
Balmoral Castle. Yeah.
Balmoral Castle. And for the first time ever, Balmoral Castle's opening up for visitors. So they're staffing the whole place to get ready to open up for visitors. And so they need workers at the estate, including gardening, housekeeping, and looking after the ponies that are there. And that's where some of the fell ponies were. By the way, I got to meet some fell ponies in person at the fair.
You love them more now?
Oh, my God. They're the cutest little things. Feisty, but they're cute. They're looking for a working pony groom. You can work alongside the head stalker. And I'll tell you what that is in a minute because I had no idea. The working pony groom will bring out and manage the working ponies on the estate, as well as getting to work with the horses. It offers an attractive remuneration package and accommodations. You can live at Balmoral Castle. It's a full-time position, and you need to apply by April the 26th. So if you want to apply to work at Balmoral Castle, you can do that. So I looked up what a head stalker was because I had no idea what a head stalker was. And a head stalker leads on all aspects of successful wild deer management. So they manage the deer herd. That's what they do. And they manage the habitat. And apparently to be a head stalker, you have to know a lot about grown plants and all that stuff. So, if you want to be a working pony group at Balmoral Castle, you can
I wonder if you get to work with Emma. That was the queen's...
I wonder if Emma's still at... You would think... I don't know.
I want to work with Emma.
They are cool. Fine. Probably of all the horses I met over the last couple of days in Ohio, the fell ponies were they were so cute. And then I did post on my personal Facebook page, the highlight of Fantasia for me, the show they do in the evening, was they had a 6-in-hand of Percherons, really 18-and-a-half-hand Percherons. They were huge. And then a 6-in-hand of little black minis that were out there together. And it was the cutest thing ever. It was really cute. I absolutely love that.
Besides that, like, what were some of the breeds that you saw that were special?
Well,
to you?
I'll tell you who was there was the Right Horse Initiative, the ASPCA Right Horse Initiative. I'm a little tired. And they had 15, 20 horses there for adoption. And from what I understand, almost all of them got adopted out.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. They opened it up to ask people to bring horses. They provide the stalls and all this. And I talked about it with Horse and Hound, and we're like, that's just too far to drive these guys, you know, for an adoption when we're doing good getting them adopted from here. So good for everybody who got it done.
No, it was great. And some of them look sad. I mean, there were some sad cases in there, but apparently they even found homes. There were gypsies there. There were standardbreds there. There were hackney ponies there. So wow. I got to see some of Scooter's cousins. Now, these hackney ponies actually have action and are a little less lazy.
Yeah.
So I got to have the Hackney Ponies Society on the show the other day. So that was fun, too.
That's cool. Hey, did you see the video I posted of Ace and I playing center field?
No.
Go look. So I was on a ride with Ace, and I came back, and Chad and Lucas were playing baseball in my arena. And so they're at the corner. And so Ace and I went out and played center field. Now they're like kind of heavy weighted balls. So they don't, when you do hit them, they don't go very far. Right. I mean, they're weighted balls. So he would never really get it that far. And then I go and I'm like, I'll play center field. And I start filming. And by God, he hit ball about 6 feet to my right. And like in the sky. Woo,
who were you on?
I was on Ace. Thank God it wasn't Miles. But I was on him, and I'm like, oh God. Oh God. Ace, thank you for being good. Like, he didn't flinch when the ball landed 6 feet to our right and my dog sprinting out, but you could see his little ears following every movement. Like, what is happening here? But I did not expect Lucas to hit it that far, that close to us. Like, we'll be fine. We'll be fine.
So Lucas is going to be professional someday. You're going to be going to watch him at the stadium.
Man, we're full force in Little League right now.
Here we go again.
Yeah. At least it's baseball. I like baseball.
Well, and the older they get, the better and less boring the games get.
Yeah.
Well, theoretically.
I don't know. It was really cute for a while, and now it's we're getting to the age where I just want to punch other parents.
Oh.
So I have to be careful.
Do they let you watch the games?
They have let me watch the game so far. I may have to walk around a little bit. Like, sometimes I have to take a break. I need to walk around for a minute, just give myself a little space.
Maybe bring yourself a lawn chair and sit away from the stands.
That's probably a good idea. Because it's not the kids. I love the kids. But when parents are yelling at either my job, like, I almost had it out with the coach. So we're fine. But we're fine now. We're fine. It's fine.
Hey, I got a story here. And this involves horses in a very roundabout way, but I thought it was a cool story. The Ford Mustang is celebrating its 60th year this year. It was,
oh, good Lord.
Yeah, the Ford Mustang came out at the 1964 New York International Auto Show. And the cool part of this story was that in 1964, the first actual one was a prototype, and that one was sold as a prototype. But the first actual off the line Mustang that was sold was a buyer by the name of Gail Weiss, and she still owns it today.
Oh, man.
All these years later, she purchased her Ford Mustang back in the spring of 1964. She was working as a third grade teacher at Sunnyside Elementary School in Berkeley, Illinois, and she still lived with her parents and needed a car to get back and forth to work. And in those days, the Mustangs weren't super expensive cars. And she went to the Ford dealer, and she wanted a convertible. Well, they didn't have any convertibles in the showroom. The Mustangs had just come out. And the dealer said, well, I have one in the back, but I can't sell it to you for another, like, 2 days until they announce it. So she bought it that day. She wasn't even allowed to test drive it. She couldn't test drive it. But she ended up being the first one ever to buy a Ford Mustang. She still owns it today. She drove it for like 30 years. She began having issues with the carburetor, and it sat for a long time. But now, since she retired, she brought the car out of retirement, had it completely restored. And they said they're going to keep it in the family as long as possible. Do you know what that one would be worth right now?
Oh, my gosh. So much. So much. Did you ever own a Mustang?
No, I didn't. Did you?
Sort of. Yeah, I did. I mean, I did. Like,
were some cool years and some ugly years of Mustangs. Were you the cool years or ugly years?
Well, let me just describe where I got my Mustang.
Okay.
I had no car. My mom was at a yard sale in Florida and found a 1987, whatever the ones with the little hatchback things and the little ribs in the back window.
That was the ugly years.
it was sitting on blocks, and I bought it for $600. And so I put tires on it, and it had one of those like suicide knobs on it, you know?
Yeah,
you took that off. I don't need help. Drove that Mustang for, I had it for a year, a stick shift, of course. And I had it
was
for,
it red?
No, it was like, sort of blue. I don't know. It was like navy blue. It was really old, Glenn. I mean, it was old. And so, I drove it for a year. I got a car for a year that was $700. Plus I had to put some tires on it, you know, cause it was on blocks. I had to get it towed somewhere, and then they put tires on it, and got this car, drove for a year. And then it broke down on I-85 in Atlanta.
You just left it there.
Well, no, I had to get it towed because, to be fair, I actually loved this car. I was like, my own Ford Mustang, as embarrassing as it is. Anyway, so I had to get it towed to a shop, and I was like, take to the shop. And he's like, all right, good news, bad news. Good news. There's only one thing wrong with it.
Bad news, like, it's the engine.
Bad news is it's the engine.
Oh, really?
Yup. It cracked.
And that's five grand.
No, it was not even a, he was like, say bye. Bye-bye. This is not a thing. Like, bye-bye. Yeah. So yes, I did own a Ford Mustang. It's not as glamorous as I, you know, had hoped. But like you said, there's some cool years.
You were picking up guys in every street corner with your Ford Mustang.
You know what? I was not roaring up to auto shows or anything. No.
So the first Mustang you actually owned was a car.
Technically, yes.
Yes.
Yes. But I had my other real Mustang horses longer than I had that car.
And they were probably in better shape than that particular car. Those were the dog years of Mustangs.
Yeah, it was not amazing.
Those were the dog years of American cars in general, actually.
It was the dog years of fashion.
Yes. I owned a Gremlin, so there, that tells you something.
There you go.
Yeah, so we both had our cars. Well, let's get to our first guest. We're going to do that right after Jamie tells you a little bit about Cosequin.
Cosequin ASU joint and hoof pellets contain quality ingredients to support joint and hoof health and leave out the fillers, molasses, and alfalfa, all while delivering the taste horses love. The colors of their ingredients shine through for a difference you can see. Visit CosequinEquine.com. CosequinEquine.com.
Well, our guest today is Faye O'Hara. She's coming to us from England, and she has an amazing story that a bunch of our listeners, including Hannah from Arizona, wanted us to get a hold of you and talk to you and find out your story. And then when I started watching the videos and researching it more, we had to have you on. Faye, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Faye, you were a horse crazy kid, weren't you?
I was. I loved it. It just became my life.
And from the time you were little, from the pictures and video I saw, I mean, you were little when you were riding.
I was five, yeah. I was competing. I would jump in at about 5 or 6. Wow. And just got obsessed.
Were you pony clubber back then?
Yeah, I did some pony club events. I did all sorts of stuff. My mum were heavily into it and loved jumping, and we're all at local shows and competing everywhere. Yeah, we just did a bit of polo, cross country, did everything. I just loved it.
Wow, that's terrific. So then we're going to speed up in time a little bit to when you were 14. And what happened then?
So when I was, I was 15. When I was 14, I started going a bit off the rails and getting friends and started, you know, venturing off. Away from, I still did my horses, but I started getting in a bit of a bad crowd. And when I was 15, I ended up in a car accident, breaking my spinal cord, all the nerves in my arm, severed the main artery, my arm hanging off at the elbow, broke all my ribs, my pelvis, my leg, all sorts. Ugh. It'd be easy to tell you what I didn't break.
Oh, man.
So, and then from the video I saw after the accident, obviously you're paralyzed. Do you have use of the one arm at all, or no use of the one arm either?
So my left arm's perfectly fine. My right arm, I had the nerves taken out my legs, replaced in my arm, and a vein to make a new artery. And it sort of come back. I can feel it. I get more pain than anything else from it. And I can tense my bicep. So, which means my wrist comes up. So that's how I drive the horse. So I do use it, but it's no use in day-to-day life, if you know what I mean.
I want to talk to you about that because I'm a driver and I've tried driving one-handed. We'll talk about that a little later. I did not succeed well, by the way. So you then, you really got out of horses for a long time. You were very upset, and I get that. I mean, because horses were your life.
Yeah, I wouldn't look at them. I couldn't. The horse that I had that I'd broken myself, I got one when I was 13, did it all myself, and then when I was 15, this happened, and they had to sell her sort of behind my back because I just couldn't look at them. I thought, if I can't, I could have possibly gone to a riding for disabled and sat on them and maybe done a little bit, but it had just reminded me of my old life, and I just thought that I'd never be able to do it how I did before, and that part of my life were over and I couldn't handle it. So the best way to handle it would just block it out, and I didn't look at one for about 7 years.
What happened that made you want to look at one again?
Well, my mum still rode throughout that away from me. I went off the rails when I first had my accident, didn't deal with it very well at all. But once I sort of got my life back on track, it were always there. It was something that I used to go to sleep thinking about. I'd try and block it, but I just wanted horses back somehow because it were all I knew. It were all I was good at as well. I'm not very academic. I didn't know what else I was, if you know what I mean. And I'd heard about carriage driving a few times throughout the years. And I don't know, something just were like, right, I feel ready to try.
And that's when you met Majestic?
No, I started off with a few ponies. I went to, I asked the yard owner where I was, if she knew, cause she'd done a bit of carriage driving, not competitively, but she had weddings and funerals. They'd done all sorts of carriage, different stuff. I asked her to find me a pony and someone that had adapted me a wheelchair carriage. And I just teach myself to drive because I thought, well, if you can ride a horse and you know horses, you can somehow teach yourself to drive. So we got a really, really safe pony and a little adapted car, and I started driving there. But they owned Frisians on the yard and they bred them. And I remember saying one day I'll have one of them, and everyone thought I were absolutely nuts. And
they're a lot of horse.
Yeah, they are. And I always said I wanted a youngster to bring up her armature because youngsters were my thing when I was younger. I'd been involved in breaking horses in and educating young horses from being like 10, 11. I just loved them. So my dream were always to eventually breed a horse and bring something up around my chair. And it happened to be a Frisian because a mare came over from Holland that were for sale, and they said, we'll put her to our stallion and you can have a baby. So I did.
And so you really met Majestic when Majestic was first a baby?
When he was a baby, yes, still on his mum.
Oh, wow. So now, from what I saw, did Majestic take to the chair right away, or did that take some getting used to?
Well, I went to him in the field more or less the day he were born, and he were a bit hesitant of people because that's real life. But it was just like anything. He just started coming up to me, and persevered with time with him. And I spent 6 weeks just going to the field. He became the most friendly foal in the universe, and everyone hated him because they couldn't go through gate without him being there. I turned him into, he wasn't like a normal foal that don't want no to do with anyone, just six of horses. No, Majestic wanted to be around us. But then he went away. I turned him away for 2 years because the yard where we were at wasn't accessible as such, and that's what happened. They were born, they stayed down for 6 weeks, and then they turned him away till they were two or three to be a horse. So he went away for a couple of years. I did see him a couple of times, but not much. And it was when I was poorly in hospital. I'd suffered from the metal in my leg had got infected, and I ended up with sepsis, and I was in hospital. And I said to my mum, I said, he's coming up to two now, and I want to start with him. But I knew I couldn't do it on the yard where we were at. So I rented a field round the corner from my actual house. And I says, can we bring him round every day to the garden and I'll just start messing about with him? And he were absolutely mental. He were absolutely mental. He tried to stand on my chair. He were a wild horse. And it just took some perseverance and a lot of frustration. And I just used to sit with him and brush him and lead him and do all sorts like that with him. And eventually one day we just sat on the grass eating and I moved and he followed me and he was just with me all the time. And it was that day where I said, I'm going to drive this horse. I still didn't know anything about competitions or anything. And that was when everyone thought, no, she can't drive that horse. <It's a big laughs> Frisian.
He's a good size Frisian too.
He's only 15-1.
He looks bigger, though. Wow.
He looks a lot bigger. Everyone always thinks he's bigger. But their heads are like 20 hands, aren't they? Their head carriage is just something something else. But no, he's actually on the 15-1.
I got to say, I saw the pictures of you drive. By the way, can you tell everybody, I don't know if you still do it this way, but in the beginning, how you got into the cart, that cracked me up, by the way. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, so when I moved to a yard, I moved to a little stable yard and found someone to adapt me a carriage for competition. And I met Pat Cooper, who actually gave me a chance to get into competing and told me all about it. We found a place to adapt me a proper carriage, but I needed to get into it. So we had to come up with something, and we came up with a car winch that hooked onto a battery and a frame that went over my carriage. That's how I got on for the first couple of years.
So they picked you up and dropped you in, basically?
Yeah, yeah. And the first time, the bloody thing fell on my head.
So, oh, really?
So did you, please tell me you had a little help getting him to learn to drive, or right. Did you?
Yeah. So what happened was, once I spent loads of time on the ground with him, loads of desensitizing, loads of stuff like that. My mum helped me long rein him, and I had a girl, I get a lot of people helping me on the yard and stuff. And we long reined him, did all that. And then trying to find someone to actually put him to carriage was very difficult. No one wanted to do it for me because they thought I were absolutely nuts. Like I said, wanting to drive this big young Frisian with one arm. But I eventually found someone, and he went away. I think he was away for 8 weeks to be put to carriage. And when he came back, they said, don't you drive him yet, you know, let other people drive him. My mum and auntie drove him twice and I got on him.
You can't tell a horse girl not to do something, then they're just going to do it.
Yeah, exactly. I said, no, this is my horse and no one's taken. When we first took him to a competition, they said, let someone else take him first. And I was like, no, this has got to be me. And I did.
So
a young horse and this thing, but we've worked together.
I assume you're doing CDEs? What kind of competition?
I'm doing what, sorry?
Are you doing combined driving events?
Yeah, I'm doing the trials, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's cool. So you have to do the dressage, you have to do the whole thing. What's the hardest part for you?
For me, it's got to be the marathon and the hazards and obstacles. I struggle because I've got no core strength. Literally, if there's nothing behind my back or if I try to sit up, I'll just fall to the side. I've got no core strength. So getting round obstacles, and then I've only got quarter use in my right arm, and that's got to be the hardest. But then, to be fair, all of it's pretty hard, and I'm still at the bottom of the pecking order, but I'm getting different. Well, I've just had a seat adapted for me and by a really, really clever guy who does a lot of driving. And it's just, I've been doing it now 4 years competitively, and I'm still nowhere near where I want to be because there's lots of adaptations and lots of different things. But I have to say, probably, yeah, the third stage is the hardest for me.
So do you have an adaptation, something on the reins, or are you just using the reins straight up?
No, there's an adaptation on the rein. So my left hand's normal, and then on the right rein we have knots, and then a bungee cord is on the each knot, and it's got a loop, and it goes around my wrist. So it can come out, because I have actually had a fall, and it came out. So it does come out, but it makes my wrist my hand, basically.
Right, okay,
so
that makes sense.
So I can pull back and let go.
Yeah, because I tell you what, the professional drivers can drive with one hand. They even drive pairs, you know, with one hand. I could never get the hang of it.
Oh, I find, because they drive coachmen, don't they? I used to drive one-handed, and sometimes I take over and I can get more out of the one-handed driving when you need to do your half halts and your tweaks and stuff. I do find it sometimes easier with one hand. But it takes a long time to adapt it.
Good Lord, you are a superhero, woman. Oh, my God.
And now Majestic has become, Frisians tend to be a little bit one person anyway, but now you're majestic. He's like a puppy dog.
He is. He's like a Labrador. He follows me. I can put his head collar on. I mean, don't get me wrong, my chair does hire. And then he'll put his head through. I get him out. He's not, I wouldn't say we're bomb-proof. He's not like a robot whatsoever, and he has done some stuff. But he, I can read him, and he reads me. And if you watch my videos, when I move, he'll always stop on my left-hand side because I trained him to lead from my left because that's the only arm I used. And he just, he give me a sense a purpose back, and yeah, I just love him. I mean, I've got six now, but he will always be my number one. All my pages are named as Majestic Equine, One Life Dream Big and stuff, because he is everything. And he, I think, like you say, Frisians are a different breed. They are a one person, and they're loyal, and they're trusting. If you can gain that horse's trust, you've got it then. But yeah, he's everything to me, and a lot of it is easier to drive the ponies. The ponies are so much easier, but I can't give up on him. I just can't. I won't.
What kind of ponies do you drive?
So I've got at the minute I've got two cobs. I've got one's I think's got a bit of Welsh in him though. The one that I'm going to championships this in a couple of days. I've actually qualified for British Indoor Championships. I don't think I'll be winning, but it's an amazing achievement just to get there.
Well, congratulations, girl. That's terrific. Yay!
Thank you. Yeah, because we compete able-bodied as well, so it's like I'm going to be below, but I'm climbing the ladder slowly, and the thing is, driving him is helping me then to get better on Majestic because he's gaining my strength. So everything I do, I've got strategy behind it, and like I say, I drive the other ponies, and I have actually just got a Welsh baby to start with, so I can do another one. But it gives me a sense of achievement, and I think that's what gets me through. I don't just feel an existence anymore. I'm doing something. I'm achieving, and I'm getting better. So
that's amazing. It sounds like too, you've got an amazing support staff around you, family, and everything like that.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. My team. Oh. I've got a team of friends that are with me all the time, and you know, they come and help me out. I have someone at yard every day with me that have to help me hoist on and harness and get on. And that was the hardest part. I think that's why I blocked horses for a long time, because I didn't want the help. But I think once I accepted it, it gave me a lot more freedom. Yeah. So there's a lot I can do myself, and I do myself, and I'll challenge myself. I'll still try and do waters and still try and muck out. I mean, it'll take me, I'll be still signing one stable while they've done 10. But, you know, I like to have a go. But it's just, I have got amazing friends, amazing team that are supportive, and they see the passion. And now, like my farrier, he sponsors me, and because money's hard, and it's really difficult, especially, well, horses are an expensive hobby, and being disabled is just expensive, full stop. So the two together, but because people are seeing my passion and seeing how much I work and how hard it is, people are starting to help me, which is great.
Well, you can hear the passion in your voice, Faye. You really can. And, you know, we always say on this show, we've been saying it for 14 years, that horses show up when you need them the most, and the right horse shows up when you need them the most. And Majestic was the right horse.
Oh, definitely. He is. Oh, if anything, honestly, I'm pathetic with him as well. Like, if he's in the wagon or anything, I am absolutely. They all go up for it. It is all right. And I'm like, I'm not even like that. I'm not even like that as a person, but him is like everything to me. He's just an amazing horse. Whether he'll be fantastic and get me, you know, to a world championships, I don't know, but it doesn't matter. He'll always be my number one. Even if I have to, you know, move on to a different horse or whatever, Majestic will be. I do demonstrations with him. It's the story behind him. He's just an amazing horse.
Well, Majestic saved you, so that's enough. You know, if he doesn't become a world champion, that's enough.
I think I'll do well on him, though. I don't think he will. I just, even if he didn't, he'd always be, yeah, he saved me.
Well, Faye, you were absolutely, so enjoyed having you on. Good luck. When's the championship coming up?
So we compete on the 19th and 20th of this month.
Next week.
I'm just on with... This week, a couple of days we set off down there. So, yeah, it's amazing. So I'm just getting the pony and the carriage and the harness and the wagon and everything sorted out. But, yeah.
Well, good luck. We'll be rooting for
you.
All of America's rooting for you, okay, Faye?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks, Faye.
All right, thanks, Faye. Take care.
Well, if that is not a way to start a Monday,
oh my God. I mean, I love her.
I love her so much, and she's so inspirational and so honest. And I mean, talking about how the horse was like mental at two, and now she's like, it saved her life. Like, that is incredible. And to be in her situation, and even talking about like, I'm sorry, I have a string of competition horses.
I know.
I am really struggling with, there's a horse trial coming up, Glenn, and it is like cross trails and a walk trot test. And I want to take Ace to his first thing. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if I should. Now I'm doing it.
And you don't even need adaptive reins.
I mean, if she can do it, then, what a superhero she is. Oh my God.
You know, from a driving perspective, I can't imagine. You know, and a Frisian's a lot of horse. There were Frisians there, and they were a lot of horse. I mean, they're bouncing around, and they, you know, when you
a little Mustang pony, and I was scared to death. Scared to death.
I said, while we were there, I said, you know, I would drive that Percheron before I would drive that Frisian. It just seems like a lot of horse.
They're a lot of horse, but they're
beautiful.
Beautiful.
And the action's beautiful. It's all beautiful, but I'd choose the Percheron over the Frisian any day. Good for you, Faye. Jesus. Well done and good luck. We hope the best. You deserve a championship. We hope you get it. Well, attention horse owners, are you looking to help your horse recover with ease after a strenuous workout? Would you like to nourish your horse and their digestive system? If so, try the new Purina Replenimash product. It's much, much more than a mash. Replenimash promotes hydration, replenishes electrolytes, and supports gastric comfort. Put Purina's research to the test. Stop into your local Purina retailer and grab a bag of Purina Replenimash product.
It's time for the weekly look at your equestrian first world problems.
This ought to be good.
Yeah, I'm going to try to keep it dramatic as it feels when I read it, but my voice is going and I don't know why. I'm trying not to get sick. But remember, if you have an equestrian problem...
You can't get sick. You have to go away next week.
I know. I'm fighting it. I'm working hard. I'm drinking vinegar and everything. It's awesome. remember, if you have an equestrian problem, it is a first world problem. Again, I do feel like a schmuck reading this, and all of us should after we're complaining, but it's all for fun. But our last guest was so inspirational. No. I'm like, Glenn, we can't do it. He's like, people love it. You got to do it. Suck it up. Well, I'm sucking it up.
That's basically what I said to her.
It's pretty much is. And my husband was like, you can't do that today.
But like, it's like a contrast. Like when we saw the Percherons driving beside the Minis, it's a contrast of real problems and then first world problems.
Well, and I do feel like it's only fair, like we've missed a couple, and I do feel like it's only fair that we let these people vent their frustrations. And that is what we are doing. So basically what happens is I go on the Horses in the Morning Auditor Facebook page and I ask for people's problems and they share. And if you want to share in this as well, what do they have to do to become an auditor, Glenn?
Just go to horseradionetwork.com and click on the auditor banner there on the page, and you too can join the fun for as little as $3 a month.
All right. Well, we're going to start with Flossie because this is just too much. It's just too much for one woman. My new farrier said that she would dye my horse's next set of glue-on shoes any color I want. But I don't know what color to pick.
I didn't know they did that. You get pink shoes.
You got to go bright the first time. I mean, come on.
Jennifer's said, farrier never offered to dye the glue on shoes for Nigel.
I know. You're missing out.
Talk to her about that.
Hillary, at this one is, this is tragic, like for real. The wind and the rain are wrecking the cherry blossoms at the farm, and the horse selfies are not as full of pretty flowers as they were last year. Oh my God.
That's funny.
Carrie says, fellow auditor Monica Raymond and I were trying to explain Horses in the Morning to our friend, and we both got so excited telling her about the fun segments on the show and how funny it is that I think we overwhelmed her. She's never going to listen. Oh, that's awesome. Gwen says, I've always been scared to trail ride. I'm an arena girl, but my guy is super amazing. So we went on a solo trail ride today on like the little trail around the property. And it was so good. Now I want to trail ride more, and I don't only have this one little trail on the property.
That's a problem, Laura. Actually, that we have right now where we're boarded. It's an absolutely beautiful facility in a very nice neighborhood, but there's not a lot of trail riding.
Well, we have the trail, you know, the property next to ours. The guy cut it, and it's really nice, like 20-minute walk, and he's cut a whole bunch of other trails. And, I mean, I'm going to have to get out there with a saw and, like, cut above me, but my shoulders won't let me do it. So basically, I just ride and duck the whole time. It's made for humans and walking dogs.
You're getting your yoga while you're on the horse.
Exactly. That's why I bought a pony. Okay. So there you go. Laura says, based on 5 previous foals, one of my mares should be foaling in a couple days. She's super consistent. I even like built my work schedule around it, and she's showing 0 signs. You know what? All you have to do is tell a mare like what your plans are, and she will crush those. Like, you're ruined.
Those of us that have all had babies, foals in the past, we've spent a lot of time looking under at those udders going, nope, not yet, not yet, not yet. 25 times a day expecting it to be different.
I mean, could I have been more grateful that Pink was at a foaling facility last time? No, because she would have died here. But yeah. Like, Not counting that, it was such a relief to not have to stare at the udders every 5 minutes and like milk her with the test strips and all that. Oh,
I was very new to horses when we were having babies. And I said to her, is it normal that I just want to look all the time? And she said, no, we all do it.
I thought you were going to say what Lucas said when Stanley was being born in the barn. Mom, why is a baby coming out of her butt?
I have to admit, it was pretty gross the first time I watched it. It was pretty gross.
See you say, Jennifer, why is the baby coming? Well, my response was, that's not her butt, buddy. That's her baby hole.
That's a good way to put it. Jennifer had to help the first one because it was stuck. So I got the first one I saw was Jennifer helping. And I said, are they all like that? She said, no, they're not all like that. And then the next one, 2 weeks later, just fell out. So, you know.
And you're like, you know what? I'm going to marry that girl. Can't wait to put a ring on that finger and have her lose the ring.
35 years later.
In the baby hole. Summer says, I have found a competent and reliable person to take care of my horses and donkeys when we leave town. She's awesome. She even checks on the chickens for me. But now I don't have an excuse to stay home and avoid all those unfun trips. Girl, I get it. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I get it too.
Kimberly says, this is awesome. I decided to wash some of my saddle pads from, she has a large collection, she says, some of her saddle pads and then let them air dry on the patio. But then it started to rain. So now they're going to be there like for a few more days. This is why I should buy more saddle pads.
You guys have always find excuses to buy more saddle pads.
Speaking of, at the movement this year, please, you guys come to the movement at Monty Roberts Farm. It's when is the date? It's like June 20th or something. I'll get the dates for you by the end of the show. But here's your excuse. There is a woman who is going to do, she's a saddle fitter, but she also does PS of Sweden bridles and talks about the anatomical bridles. And she sells the saddle pads and she's going to bring a ton of them. So
they
like
PS of Sweden saddle pads. Pads ever. They really are.
They're the nicest. So, I mean, it's going to be saddle pads.
They're bridle. Have you seen the bridle yet?
I own 2 different ones.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like it was the only thing that would work for Ace or Miles. And now Ace
They're
has
really
one
cool.
too.
Do they work well?
And then I had to get like a black one and a brown one because like I have 2 of those saddles for both, you know, God, it never stops, Glenn. Do you know how extreme my shopping list for Kentucky is? I mean, it's insane. And most of it is crap for this dang little pony.
Are you bringing home an extra empty bag with you?
Oh, yeah. So I had to book tickets through Delta. I used my dad's miles. You're never too old to use your parents' miles, right? And so you get your first bag
free. And their timeshares. You're never too old to use their timeshares.
That's true, too. That's Chad's dad. So what I do is I have this really big suitcase, and I'm going to pack my clothes like in my normal like roller bag suitcase and put that inside the big suitcase. Mm. So when I get there, I'm going to full empty suitcase, and then I'll just roller bag the other one home. Boom.
And we'll see if it comes under the 50-pound allowance.
Well, if it's a few extra dollars, I'll have a backpack for just that reason. It's too heavy, put it in the back. Okay. Done on tangent. Ursina said, my young horse Rocket is doing super well under saddle, and the trainer is like super impressed. However, I went to fit him to a better saddle, because obviously you have a starter saddle, you don't put one of your nice ones on there. And she said that none of her 11 saddles work, and now she has to go shopping for number 12.
11 saddles?
Get a total saddle, comfort
that,
saddle.
That has to be a record right there, 11 saddles, for our listeners that we've heard about. If anybody has more than 11, let us know.
Glenn.
Who was that again?
Ursina.
Is she married?
But it doesn't matter.
No,
because
I just wanted to know.
Why don't you just ask what her weight is, Glenn?
Well, hey, after about 7 saddles, I wanted to know if he bailed out after 7 saddles or 8 saddles.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. Well, let us sure know, Ursina.
She's Canadian. They're all nice. Celeste says, I'm traveling abroad for almost the entire month of May. Ooh, but I've never left my animals in someone else's care for that long, and no one else will care for them with the neurotic level of detail that I do.
Okay, we know her, and that is all true.
Have you seen the videos of the like when the wife feeds and the hay is put out, she puts out, she fluffs it up, you know, and like they put it all around, and then when the husband feeds, and it's like the guy just walks by the fence, like chucks it over.
That's what I do. That's what I do.
Susanna says, it's not horsey related. this comes complete with the cutest little picture. It's not horsey related, but it's pet related. And we've added another pet to our house on accident. We bought a mouse to feed our snake, and the mouse was too big. So now we have a pet mouse.
How can the mouse be? The snake wouldn't eat it? I thought they ate like really big mice.
Yeah, somebody asked, and apparently it's just too wide, and even the snake was like, no.
Yeah,
the
snake was like, I'll choke to death on that. Forget it.
Yeah, no thanks. But it's her daughter with a little mouse. How do you feed mice to your snake and then have one as a pet? I don't know.
I thought they usually got them frozen. Like, I don't know. I don't want to know. La, la, la.
Come on. I don't want to know. La, 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 la.
You know how I feel about snakes in the first place.
I know. Stop reaching. I'm going to move on. Jenna says, Jenna, God bless you. I have been here, except for I hauled the horse to the emergency clinic an hour away. I just paid for an emergency vet call, only to find out that my horse's black tongue is completely normal. Girl, you remember?
You freaked out about that the one day.
I was, Effie wasn't feeling right. Like, she was a little colicky, you know, just like not eating really well. And I lifted up her lips and her gums were black. And that is the sign of like uber toxicity, right? Like, if your horse's gums are black, they're like dying. They've ruptured that something. I put her in the trailer and I drive an hour north. I'm on the phone with my vet. I'm on the phone with the clinic. I'm like, I got you, that's Philly. She's like 6 months old, and she's all the things have already been done to her, you know, so she's like been to a hospital before. I lead her out, take her in. They put her in the stocks. They're like, okay. And the vet lifts up the gums and goes, whoa. That is concerning. I'm like, I know. She's a black filly. She has black gums. That is what it cost me $300 to learn.
They didn't even have to do any tests. Just
no, of course they did tests. Of course they did things. But I was like, let's. The main thing was like her. Like, The blood work came back normal. Their gut sounds were normal. They didn't have rectal her, but they did like an abdominal ultrasound. Like, I mean, it was more than $300. Am I kidding? Revisionist history in my mind. but yeah, so Celeste, I know you own Effie now. Don't forget she has black gums and will scare you to death. And I'm just glad that I'm not alone and that my friend Jenna went through the same thing because her horse's tongue is black like a chow dog. Alexis says, Alexis. I don't know how you're able to live through this, really, honestly. This is so hard. I just purchased a beautiful black Oldenburg filly to be my second fancy dressage horse. We finalized the paperwork this morning, and I asked them to deliver her today, but they won't be able to deliver until tomorrow. What you can't say then.
All right, one more.
Oh, well, let's see. Well, there's so many good ones. Okay, I'll do this one because you understand this one. My best friend, who owns a barn at Bordet, her birthday's coming up, and I helped her non-horsey boyfriend find her and buy a horse vacuum on Marketplace, and I offered to hide it at my house until her birthday, and then my husband discovered it in our shed and doesn't believe it's not mine.
I wonder why he doesn't believe that. Could be a history there why he doesn't believe that, because we've all heard it before.
Listen, I mean, I'll still never forget, like, Larissa and I went on a trip, and when she came back, there was, like, a sick pit bull on her front steps, and they're a pit bull family, and her husband would and still does not believe I didn't have something to do with that dog. And I put it there. Like, obviously, we did this together. She was, like, literally was sitting in the front of our front door. Like, we help pit bulls here, and she helped it and found it, and the husband just will, Kyle will not believe that I didn't do that. So I get it. You're never going to let it down, okay? It just happens, Shelly. Get over it.
I got to tell you, I saw a lot of glassy-eyed horse husbands. You could pick them out, and you could tell they've been shopping for a long time, and they were just done. Oh, they were done.
God bless them. Those are good
there
men.
There were a lot of them. And then, you know, you get the kids who don't want to be there and to get drugged around by mom. But then the horse husbands, you could just picture them. They're just following along, about two
you know
steps
what?
Behind.
Leave the dang kids home with the husband and go. That's what I would do.
All right, auditors, hang on. We'll chat for a little bit after the show. Thank you so much for joining us today. Tomorrow, we have the new Quarter Horse episode that Ashley and Kat do, and I think this is their second one, so look forward to that. We will not have Equine Affair episode later in the week on Thursday. We'll be dark that day because, you know, we just did three. So we'll have a month off.
And you're then, all caught up.
And we're together, though, Wednesday and Friday. I think we're here all week. So get your weird news into Jamie at horseradionetwork.com and get your bad ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. And don't send me anything because I'm taking tomorrow off.
I'm going to text you every hour. It'd be awesome. All right, spay, neuter, geld. I forgot my own personal equestrian first world problem. I'll do it in the post show.